Whilst most types of gun have seen continued development since their inception, best guns have not. Indeed, what most consider to be the finest game guns in the world have designs and manufacturing processes that date back more than 100 years.
And the sporting gun has to be made to measure to suit individual requirements.
Let me introduce Gallio, a British gun maker that is looking to change that for the better, creating a new gun from the ground up.
Welcome to a gun that I can comfortably say is the best of British gun making.
They invited us up to look around their factory, see how this gun is built, and learn more about how a project like this takes shape.
I know that you do stuff for aerospace and Formula One. What did you learn from that you've brought into a shotgun?
We're going to learn about the secret surface treatments.
It has 3,000 Vickers, which is about a third as hard as diamond.
How they balance innovation with traditional gun-making skills.
Nobody was able to deliver until we came across and spoke with Don Custerson.
Take one out for a test with the harshest shotgun critic I know.
It is as interesting a development in gun-making as I've seen for a very, very long time.
And most excitingly, learn about their barrels, which are held together with glue.
Can you explain that? Like
bonding rather than gluing, Johnny.
Glue's a nice word.
It's the sort of thing you might put your Airfix kit together with, but...
Why Gallion?
Gallion is the oldest English gun maker in existence, in continuous ownership here in the UK. Started in 1784. Roughly 26,000 guns built by Gallion in that era. And so being able to acquire the name from Richard Gallion that is, who remains an ambassador to this business, was really important for us. It's our opportunity to add a chapter to the Gallion history and heritage, and we really like that idea.
Buying or starting a gun makers is something most of us have dreamt about. And I had one last big question for Adam.
You're here, you've bought a gun maker.
Yeah.
Where do you start?
We set out with this idea of being able to do something different, doing better than had gone before. The idea behind this gun had certain red lines that were not going to be crossed, and so it had to be aesthetically pleasing on the eye. It needs to be future-proofed for steel. One of the most important things is reliability. Our guns are super reliability. That was an absolute red line.
It's always worth remembering that a shotgun is a simple machine.
After you.
Thank you.
You need barrels, an action, and some sort of firing mechanism. Where it gets complicated is making one that feels nice to operate, is finely made, and will stand the test of time. To achieve the complicated stuff, you need experience. So Gallion went out looking for help.
We ended up actually speaking to quite a lot of people until we came across and spoke with Don Custerson.
Don Custerson is a British engineer and gunmaker whose career has involved the innovation of metal surface coatings as well as the design of various guns for both himself and other makers.
You've got no basis for a design for a gun. Where do you start?
It was basically a clean sheet of paper job. In more detail, it was going to be an over and under with a pistol grip stock, single trigger, conventional top lever opening, trigger plate. From the point of view functioning, is to approach it as an engineer rather than a gun maker copying old designs. Try and make it mechanically efficient.
Before we get into the gun-making stuff, let me introduce Richard, head of Gallion's sister company, Cambridge Precision. They're a top-end engineering firm making top-end parts from all sorts of materials, In short, it's not just Don's expertise that was behind this project, but Richard's as well.
I know that you do stuff for aerospace and Formula One and some of those cool big battle aircraft we see. What did you learn from that you've brought into a shotgun?
So the things that we learned from the aerospace, defence, Formula One industry is the systematic approach to problem solving and analysing complex systems. So we used failure mode and effect analysis to look at all of the other manufacturers.
Failure modes meaning points that break regularly.
Yeah, exactly.
Things that weren't as good as they could be.
Correct. So once you've done that analysis, you can then feed that into the design process to ensure that your product has none of those failure mode characteristics.
Wow.
So tiny, tiny, tiny. We also have looked at marginal gains theory. So don't make one thing 100% better. Look at 100 things and make them 1.2 or 1.5% better. So the aggregate result is something that is significantly greater.
So these two brains assessed every game gun on the market, searched out faults in their design, from sloppy ejection to awkward opening, and said, let's fix that. And what we're about to see is the result of this anality. Every facet of this gun has had these processes applied to them. So we're going to look at every aspect of this gun, starting with their unique barrels.
It's fair to say the Galleon make their barrels unlike anybody.
Yeah.
Talk me through that process.
Simply put.
Traditional components, tubes, monoblock.
Yes. But it's really how we bring all those components together is what we do in a unique way, in a different way. Tubes come in, struck as normal.
File papered up to a finish.
Yeah, basically. What we're looking for really when we then fit to our monoblock, we are looking for a natural convergence at the muzzles. There's a very subtle little angle inside the monoblock, and as you might be able to tell.
You make all your own tubes, so I guess barrel length is custom?
It's exactly that. Whatever the customer wants, the customer can have.
So you've got this gun, the tubes are fitted to monoblock, barrels are struck up.
Once this is actually properly assembled again with a structural adhesive.
Oh, so this is actually bonded together as well?
Yes.
So it's probably worth mentioning at this point that usually you'd be using solder and brazing and all sorts of traditional hot,
traditional
liquid
braised,
metal
hot
stuff to stick this together.
And again, also our process, room temperature, no distortion.
Because you glue it.
Yeah.
More or less.
Structural bond that all day long, yeah.
Not fully convinced of the glue, I grabbed the man behind the idea to explain it further, before we continued on with the build.
Your barrel tubes are not brazed or soldered or stuck together in any normal way. They are glued together, in principle.
So part of the innovation, and indeed we have a patent for this, is indeed bonding rather than gluing, Johnny.
Glue's a nice word.
It's the sort of thing you might put your Airfix kit together with, but we have structural adhesive, it's a bonding process, very, very controlled process. To answer your question, will it last? Yes. I mean, I think if you look at all the aircraft we're flying around in, most of the cars we're driving these days, even some of the spacecraft, everything's bonded together now because it's a much more reliable, controlled and consistent process.
Interesting. And that's because you're using exact measures and getting an exact bonding product rather than using temperamental things like heat and solder.
Correct. So we use this structural adhesive. When it's gone off, it's completely inert. So we don't have, you know, what is a traditional failure mode, which is
ribs coming off
or flux being left inside the barrel assembly and some moisture getting in and then setting up a corrosion mechanism. We have none of that. We're structural adhesive.
How good is the glue?
Well, the structural adhesive, Johnny, is very good. We've had the barrel assemblies benchmarked against other maker barrel assemblies, and we've had that tested at the Loctite laboratories.
You just ripped them apart?
Basically put them in an Instrom machine, tensile tester, we've pulled them apart and we've also peeled them apart. And what we've seen from the results is the barrel assembly is between 8 and 10 times stronger. And that's simply because the structural adhesive, the way it bonds with our structural interrib to the barrel tubes, there's a huge contact area
when you consider and relate that back to traditional tinning on of ribs, where they may only touch about a millimetre on each rib on each barrel tube.
So the tubes are bonded into the monoblock and then it's laser welded?
Yep, then where you see that we've created a chamfer around the actual end of the tube and also the monoblock, that profile then gets laser welded. Mm-hmm. This will come back to us and then we will just take that down by hand file in a traditional manner to create our shape from the monoblock into the sweep of the barrel.
And then the polish on that should hide that join
very well. Yeah, essentially that and black will make that disappear like any fine gum.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, again, it's where you need the hand skills because at the moment we've got several pairs, we've got a trio that's being built. You have to ensure that they are a true pair and a true trio. They must look the same. They must feel the same. They must look the same for the customer.
I guess that when I heard about a new innovative gun maker, I expected to see a heap of CNC machines and a guy assembling the parts as they were spat out. But this was far from the case. They told me that they were always intending to have some handwork and fitting on the parts. But they very quickly learnt that to achieve a best gun look and finish, they needed to hire a team of top craftsmen to work their magic. And then, most importantly, not hold them back by restricting their hours per job. In the end, each gun gets hundreds and hundreds of hours of hand finishing on top of the precision-made parts to achieve that desired look and feel. This obviously doesn't come cheap, but it is what makes a best gun, building it up to a standard and not down to a price.
The next bit is the part I find most fascinating. Usually you'd be soldering on two mid-ribs and a top rib.
Absolutely, yeah.
But once again, the glue comes out. Sorry.
Structural adhesive.
Military grade structural adhesive comes out.
Secret sauce.
And a single piece midrib is inserted that not only gets them stuck together, but also regulates them.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yes. That's a really complicated thing to make on even a five axis. It is literally profiled in every axis, every aspect to match the profile of the barrels. So the barrel profile and then the profile internally on this rib will fit together.
So the midrib is fitted along with a fore-end stop. Structural adhesive is applied and then it's set into a jig to dry. When it comes out, it's perfectly regulated for both barrels to shoot in the same spot. I don't know about you, but I think that this is pretty cool and most definitely unique.
Glue sets and you're left with...
Once the bond's actually been applied and it's setting, there's a working time where you can take away the excess. Mm-hmm. Obviously at that point, that's where we like to check all our seams, make sure there's material where we know there needs to be material. And that's where we go for the next 2 days.
Start to harden.
Yeah, it stays
in... It's a 7-day process?
It stays in the jig for 48 hours. We won't touch it again for any other processes, which would then be the barrel weld for 7 days.
Barrel's completely dry. Time for a top rib, right? Because you're putting that on in a second stage.
Yes.
How is that attached, if not with traditional methods?
Again, so once we are fully cured off and we are happy with where we are with the actual fit, that will then go and have these little anchors placed on the top tube.
And that's done in a jig somewhere with a laser weld.
Yeah, we've got a 4.5 jig.
Polish it, blue it, machine the rest of the rib. Job done, pretty much.
Yep.
It's significantly less like flamey and exciting looking, but it is technically fascinating.
Before we move on to the next station in this room, let's take a step back. All of the machining that's happened to these metal components so far is done on site by Galleon's sister company, Cambridge Precision. As I said, they make parts for some pretty big players, and as you'd expect, have a huge array of top-end machinery. Richard made it evident that they take pride in making sure every component is as good as it can be before it leaves the doors. Back over the road, I had moved over the workshop to where the barrels are joined together with the action.
Vince, today you are jointing up an action. Talk to me about that process. How is it different on a galleon? Like, how long does it take?
It's going to take probably 2 or 3 days in total.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, to get it right, you know, you can just throw it together or you can put it together properly as people have done for 100 years and we do it the original way.
You're just smoking it, closing it, removing it until it just closes right, and then you work on the feel? Is that the chronology?
Basically. Yeah, get the hooks right, get the knuckle right, make sure there's nothing holding it off on the side, and then you face it down until you get a proper face.
And that's a 3-day process, micron by micron, file stroke by file stroke.
Yep.
Is there any substitute for that? Is there a shortcut?
Sometimes there's a slightly better machine than others, so you might knock a few hours off. But generally speaking, they've got the parts as close as they can, and the next step is just to hand file them. There is no better way than using your hands, filing off the metal. It's better than the machine.
And that's the difference between a gun that just closes like a bank bolt and a gun that closes with a bit of slop?
Yeah. Got the action, you've got the forend. How that fits together and moves will dictate how long that gun will last. If you've got a few slight bearing surfaces, they'll wear easy. Can't completely negate it in 100%, because the more you use the gun, it will wear out. But you can make from a 10-year wear out to 50 years, and it could be passed on to your son, your grandson.
So basically, you can build a gun on a machine, but it's never going to last as long as one that has been hand-fitted together. Handwork is only one stage of the build, though. Nearly all of the components in this gun arrive here as blocks of steel and are machined on-site in some of Cambridge Precision's many impressive machine shops. Looking around the place, it's evident that these guys have a very impressive client list and are no stranger to working to the best possible standard. They uphold this standard through rigorous quality control.
This is checking all the tolerances on this action to make sure that it is conforming within tolerance, ready to go next door to be turned into a gun.
Correct, absolutely. And we're talking about levels of accuracy down to 5 to 10 microns. So a human hair, for example, is 70 microns in diameter.
This is a 5-axis machine as well.
Correct. Yeah, and that's very important. So when you're programming and you're machining in 5-axis, you also need to check in 5-axis. You're using the same datum point for machining as you are for an inspection. But 5-axis is critical for the end consumer, because every time you take a component out of the machine and reset it up for the next operation, there is error potentially induced into that reset up.
This is the precision aspect you're bringing into the gun making.
Yeah, this is aerospace, space and defence. This is what we do, and this is what we're bringing to Galleon.
With a better appreciation of how the parts arrive with the gun makers, I continued on with Vince, looking into what they have to do when a raw machined action arrives on their bench.
You're jointing now, but what have you done up until this point?
Up until this point, we fitted a top strap.
And that's welded on?
That is welded on, as you can see, no gaps. We fitted the trigger plate, that's been fitted, and that is there to add support for the top strap for when it's welded. And at the back, make sure they're all done beforehand, all the strikers are fitted, all the cocking arms are in, they're all freed up. So we can spend a week beforehand getting that ready before it goes to welding.
How many hours does it take to take one of these? Because obviously it comes here, and we've been to the machine shop, and the quality of the machining looks good enough to assemble.
Yeah. It's outstanding, but it does need the final finish and the final fit of every component.
How many hours does it take you to get those to the finished gun in terms of the magical gunsmithery, gun makery?
It's on average about 250 to 300 hours.
That's 6 to 9 weeks.
Yes.
Of actual work.
Yeah. Of hand fitting, hand filing, polishing, and getting it as the customer would like to receive it.
The machine can't regulate those parts together,
no.
Right?
It's because all the different parts interact with each other. They'll get one part that is pretty much exactly the same as another part, but then you try to fit them and you want that level of accuracy between the parts. Yeah. You know, the machine can get it so close, but it can't do the final fit.
I guess you could get the machine to make them work, but then it would be sloppy.
Yes.
And you don't want that.
If you wanted a sloppy gun, they could go together off the machine. But you want it hand fitted and last a lifetime, it takes the time to fit them.
This really is one of the biggest pursuits of perfection I have seen in gunmaking. From this no-holds-barred approach to the hand finishing, to the way the ejection system has been designed.
The ejection system in a galleon is something that a lot of time was spent on, because reliable ejection was one of the key points to hit.
Yeah.
And this is probably the most unique thing about it.
Yeah, G-spring that we utilise with our ejection system, in essence, dampens the return of the ejector when it's firing, because we're incorporating coil springs.
Powerful coil springs.
Powerful coil springs that we don't want to overwork the ejector heads. Traditionally, on other designs of ejection, one of the failure points is that the ejector heads crack under the sort of final end stoppage.
What I noticed as well is when it does eject, it's quite quiet.
The G-spring, it doesn't only just slow down the ejection, but it also has a sound dampening effect to that, where it's going to slow down all the percussive sort of clack that you get at the end of the ejection, whilst also incorporating the full ejection power.
Yeah, adds to the quality of feel as well as the actual physical quality of the gun.
Correct.
As the hours, days and weeks of handwork roll by, the gun starts to resemble its finished form.
Alan, this one is almost finished.
Almost, yes. Yeah, this is in the final stages.
We are 250 hours deep at this point.
Pretty close, yes.
That's mad. Yeah. This is the final regulation and then it goes to hardening.
Exactly, yeah. So at the moment this is in its soft state, natural state.
Nothing's coated.
Nothing's coated at this stage. The raw material is tough. We use a material called P20. It's in its stress relieved but toughened state. It's incredibly stable. When we're actually machining it, when we're actually filing it, it is quite abrasive, so it does destroy our files. It's very expensive.
Very resistant.
It's very, very resistant. You know, we go through quite a substantial amount of files to get to this stage. When it gets to this stage, my role is to make it feel, you know, smooth, slick, work correctly prior to the actual hardening and coating processes.
But if the guys have done their job, if the trigger unit has been assembled well, the gun has been jointed correctly, you're just about taking these components and just finalizing those touches.
Yeah, we're just taking it to that, we're elevating it to that next level. You know, it's all about fit and finish and feel. You know, the guys have done their job, it's now my job to elevate it just to that next level.
So Alan takes the work that all the other gun makers have done and spends another heap of time making sure everything is working together in perfect harmony. This needs to be done prior to hardening and coating, as the steel will be near impossible to work afterwards.
We use basically PVD coatings, two varieties. We use a Nitron MC and a Nitron CA. The CA is, we call our gallium blue. It's incredibly tough, it's hard, it's wear resistant. You have anti-corrosion properties and it just looks incredibly beautiful.
When it comes to coating internal parts,
yes.
Do you then have to re-regulate those? Is it quite a thick coating?
Initially nitride hardened, then they're coated with a Nitron MC.
That's the black.
That's the black coating, PVD coating.
Yeah, the same one that's on the top lever and the trigger guard.
Yes. It's incredibly hard, has 3,000 Vickers, which is about a third as hard as diamond. It has an incredibly low coefficient of friction.
Slippery.
So incredibly slippery. All of the trigger balls crispen up, the lock time speeds up. So for the professional shooter, you are going to know that lock speed.
It just feels tight. When you pull the trigger, the gun goes bang.
Exactly, yeah. It just gives you confidence.
These coatings are designed not only to make the gun run better, but should also help avoid any issues if you are lackadaisical with your servicing. The next major component we're going to look at is the stock, which once again is made by a master craftsman.
Peter, you are the head stocker for Galleon. Could you talk me through the process of stocking? How much is machined? How much handwork goes in? What is the process?
Well, it begins in its first stages as a part machined gun stock.
So the client's chosen a blank, it then goes off to one of the machine shops here to yes. have that headwork done.
The headwork's machined, and that's the first point that it comes to me at. From there, I have the customer's measurements to work to, and the first stage is to let the action into the head of the stock and head it up mm-hmm. and get the recoil block attached here so that it can't go, that is the point that's taking most of the brunt of the recoil. I then let in the trigger plate, which is bolted to the action as well mm-hmm. and screwed on. And then the two are headed onto the stock, at which point we can then remove this centerpiece of wood.
And that centerpiece is left just to keep it rigid whilst
playing with up
and down and taking bits around.
Exactly.
Because it's relatively flexible and fragile without that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very, you know, these are two movable bits of wood effectively, so they can go anywhere. So you want to keep things as rigid as possible. Once it's on the action, you can put your bolt in and then bolt the entire gun onto the stock. This then allows you to start doing your trigger guard.
So the machining is done specific for the dimensions of that gun, I presume?
It is. Like everything in gun making, there's little insurance policies.
Especially with wood, right?
Exactly, yeah. Applied. So you've got 1/4 inch, 3/8 on the top. You've got multiple wood here to work to, with your bolt hole being pretty close to where the centre of the finished template will be.
There's not a lot of tools, right?
It's not a huge amount needed. This will be used for around here to create a super sharp line. Mm-hmm. Most of the pistol grip is done by hand, and then curved file, and then reduced down to smoother files.
And you're doing all of this by eye, or using gauges? How do you sort of guarantee the lines stay the same gun to gun, especially in something like pairs?
Well, we have got measurements that we have to stick through the grip. So we've got a measurement here, we've got a measurement there, and a measurement there, and a measurement here. Yeah. And a measurement here as well. So those are the touch point measurements that are really important.
But the line is done by eye. How many years of experience?
37.
It's a lot of stocks.
It's a lot of stocks, yeah, and a lot of waste wood.
Having that much experience, I had a whole host of questions for him.
Wood is such a fascinating thing to work with, as you well know.
And it moves.
It does move.
It's really irritating.
Yeah, and you're getting these at a specific moisture content.
Yes.
And you upstairs very meticulously choosing the wood you start with to try and minimise any movement or any change over time. But apparently that's something that's just going to happen.
Well, for example, when this is a block and then it's machined, you could easily find that move over by 1/8 inch.
Wow.
Just by the stresses released from in that section there.
Because the grain isn't bang straight.
No, it's moving in different points, and so you're releasing stresses.
Warpage by 1/8 inch is the difference between a gun you can shoot and a gun that you can't shoot quite so well.
Exactly. It's very noticeable. And it can move again. Sometimes it can move back again. That's what I found that happen as well, which is really strange. So you've shaped it up, you've finished the gun stock, you then do a quick final check on the measurements, and it's moved back 1/16. So and that's on a finished gun stock. So you then have to be very mindful of that process. You're constantly building in little insurance policies to allow for the final gun as best you can to be perfect.
I guess, is there like a time thing? So you remove some wood, leave it for a few days, a week, and just really see as you go?
So that stage is left to just stabilize. None of the wood removed from here will alter the cast or the bend once that goes. So the bulk of the movement will come from this area. And then...
How long?
You can leave that for a month. That's probably the best time to leave it.
It's only apparent why these things just take time to build. 300 hours in there, just a month waiting to see what happens to that piece of wood.
But it's worth it.
As we were chatting away, a delivery of stock blanks arrived, ready to be graded and stored away in Galleon's wood room.
Well, Johnny, welcome to the Galleon wood room.
You've got three grades of wood here at Galleon, in Select, Deluxe and Exhibition?
Yes.
What would be fascinating for me is for you to go through all of these and pick what you would say was the perfect piece?
You're asking a very tricky personalized question there, and that's what makes each gun unique to each individual, mm-hmm. because they're bespoke guns. What you like and what someone else likes is completely different.
Luckily, the actual choosing of wood in this room is only an issue for those lucky enough to be buying a galleon. And the rest of us can just look on and speculate.
How does that look to you?
I mean, it's a good looking piece of wood. You can see it's got some fiddle back. As you well know, once you cut into it, it can look very different.
Yes, and once you take the edges off, once it becomes a stock, it's and not a stock blank, it can very quickly change into something even more beautiful. Like all things, you want to try and find the best and the most pleasing for you.
So do you like that?
I think that's stunning. And also, it's very good in the hand area, as you can see, all the way through, and isn't going to be moving, isn't going to be causing any problems, and is highly unlikely to break, unless, of course, your dog sits on it. If we could just show, for example, the transformation that can take place here. So if we try and find the best point, immediately gives an example of what it's going to look like if we just move it around to find the best area.
And I guess I think the real problem with choosing wood is that there's nothing wrong with that piece.
Nothing at all.
You're choosing between five pieces that in any other world you'd be so happy with.
Exactly.
And I find that the hardest thing.
I know, it's difficult.
Peter and I looked through a number of blanks, with him giving his experienced advice as we went.
So I'm looking for colour and contrast.
Mineral lines are weak spots. Or not?
No. They're not weak spots at all. They are purely the contrast in the where the wood has grown, to give you the beautiful, that give you the enhanced look that the wood has that differentiates it from, say, a piece of pine.
This man, like all of those involved in this project, had such a wealth of knowledge backed up by practical experience in his chosen field of gunmaking.
It's at this point that we should probably look over a finished article. What I've learned over 2 days in this factory now is that nothing about this gun is done as second rate. Simon Reinhold has used in the past a phrase saying, built up to a standard, not down to a price. And this gun sort of embodies that. Originally, their prices were set as somewhere where they wanted to be, but they soon discovered that to do everything to the best of their ability just takes time. Which means this, the Galleon Cambridge Gold, starts at £50,000, which is no insignificant amount of money. And yet, when you put it on the market against other British guns, I do think it actually offers some value. Let's actually start and do a traditional look over, starting at the back. The Cambridge Gold comes with a deluxe grade walnut stock. You can obviously pay for an exhibition upgrade if you want, and they have the select which sits slightly below this. All of the wood comes with a best London oil finished, and as you'd expect, comes with a full custom stock to your measurements. The wood comes finished in itself with a titanium plug to fill up the hole at the back. I love that as a touch. I've seen on the higher grade gun, the Holcomb, it actually has a fully engraved addition, which is just nice, right? It's these questions of why not that come into a gun like this. When talking to Peter, I learned that each grip is made to an exact specification of width and depth. I'm sure that if you have a slightly different hand size, that could be altered a little bit. But honestly, that grip is just fantastic. It's swept back, but big enough for a big hand. As we said, hand checkered. Nice, coarse and grippy, but not horrible on the hand. There's no drop points on this model, but just flat diamond panels. It has an extended trigger guard that is PVD coated in Nitron MC, giving this super deep, glossy black. That more importantly will not fade. You think a blued trigger guard as you use it with hotter, sweaty, coarser hands will just wear. You can get through, you get through the bluing in a season if you use it enough. This, you'll not have that as the case. And the look is deep and lustrous and luxurious. The trigger is mechanical, single trigger with an automatic safety on top. The ejection system is lovely as well. We saw those G-springs earlier, and they really do offer a dampening effect to a very strong spring. because they have a wide rim as well, the ejection, they really do shoot out together. Just nicely done. That wide gape allows them to eject nice and late. There's no resistance on the opening or on the closing. You're not fighting any springs or any pressure. When they come out, they do come out together. It's little things like that that make the galleon the galleon. And honestly, it's kind of hard to think of words to describe this gun in terms of its shininess and the way that it is. It's not got wacky engraving, it's understated, it's not got wild lines or anything like that. But everything that is done to perfection. Why not have the best ejection? Why not have the best trigger pulls and lock time possible? It's fair to say that best gun making is all about perfecting the simple things. Anyone can hide behind a thin veneer of gloss and shine, but actually, building a gun that has a really solid, reliable base does take a lot of effort. And that 300 hours of regulation really shows, just the way the top lever opens, the way the gun opens, the noise that it makes when it shuts. And that hybrid of precision engineering and best English gun making, it's kind of cool, right? The action is PVD coated in galleon blue with hand engraved gold inlaid galleon and Cambridge on there. And going back to that hiding behind a veneer, an unengraved gun really hides no sins. The forend removes with a pull lever very easily, and that's because you're not twisting something, you're actually camming it up and down. It's a real consistent pressure, which is kind of nice. In terms of wear, the gun actually has removable wearing parts. Something that you should expect, really. The gun's not designed to wear out, but if you go and put 50,000 heavy shells through it, you may need an oversized crossbeam. You may need a new bite at the top. You may need to put a new draw in the forend. Like, the whole thing is just well thought out. The barrels, we've looked at the barrels in depth. The fact that they're chemically bonded together, that's pretty wild. You know, they're saying this is actually harder and takes longer than it would to braze them together, and I can believe it. The way that all of these pieces of metal run seamlessly together, because they can have super sharp edges, because all of the bonding is done inside and not just on the edges, it just leaves an aesthetically wonderful product. At the end, you have multi-chokes, comes with two in the gun and two spare. I must admit, there's nothing I dislike about it. It's just a good gun. And I say just a good gun, that might sound derogatory, but there's nothing I can pick a hole in for a game gun. It's just superb. And yet I don't entirely know if I can qualify that statement because I haven't shot it. So, let's go and shoot it. But let's not do it alone. Let's do it with a man who knows far more about best British guns than I.
Found the context in which you experience a new thing has a huge bearing on its significance to you. So we headed over to possibly the most beautiful venue we've shot at, and the namesake of one of Galleon's models, Holcombe Hall.
Simon, we've looked at thousands of guns together at this point.
Yeah, about that.
It's you who originally put me onto this as a thing, and I'd love your opinion on it, sort of top to tail. What makes you impressed with this?
I'm a vintage gun fan, as you know, and it takes a fair bit to turn my head when it comes to modern over and unders.
Yeah.
And you have to be doing something different to really get my attention. This gun is doing something different in many different areas. I am a big fan of people who are pushing the boundaries, who are looking at different industries as to performance coatings, as to ways of manufacturing, as to ways of building things. Because arguably the side lock ejector was perfected in 1880, 1890, and has
given me a reason to buy a new gun.
Exactly. So yeah. You've got to bring something new to the party, and this gun does it in spades. There's an enormous amount of thought that's gone into the design of this, and there are certain things that leap out at you in that when you pick up a lot of over and unders, you'll find when you open the gun, it bounces back off the bottom.
Yeah, it sits on the springs of the main springs and it just
off the gate.
Semi-closes.
And sometimes that can be a pain to get the cartridge in the bottom barrel. Sometimes it can, if the ejectors are fractionally out of timing, then it will hit the face of the action and won't eject properly. That issue does not happen with this gun. There is no bite in the bottom of the floor plate to have a fore-end knuckle.
Interesting.
It doesn't need it because it's the angle is perfectly designed for that not to happen. And that's just one example of the thought that's gone into this. You are using performance coatings on various parts of the gun inside. This is designed to be proofed against those kind of failures. The problems have looked to be designed out of this gun. This is a gun for generations, not just one. Galleon are one of the very few gun makers who actually make their own barrel tubes in-house, and they are beautifully straight, and I mean beautifully straight. These have even impressed the hardest to impress barrel makers in the world. Who've said that they are some of the best tubes they've ever looked at. The design of things like the midrib joining the two tubes together.
Oh, that is amazing, isn't it?
It's skeletonized. It's engineered in as many dimensions as you can possibly engineer something to fit perfectly. And then instead of being soldered or welded to each tube, they're looking at other industries and thinking, how do modern performance adhesives work on aircraft? They don't solder aircraft wings. They use modern performance adhesives that are functional at very, very high temperatures. It's that kind of ingenuity, that kind of looking at other industries, taking from other industries and going, how can we make gun making better for the future? That's what this gun is all about.
This is the Holcomb model.
It is, yeah.
Named after this place right here.
Exactly. This is the home of driven game shooting. This was where driven game shooting was invented. And that is the heritage that this Galleon Over and Under looks to borrow.
It's a hell of a name to live up to, right?
It is, yeah.
Should we go shoot it?
Let's do it.
We walked over the field and headed down into a big crater to finally pull the trigger on this wonderfully made thing.
Oh, that's fast.
After seeing how much time and passion goes into this gun, these first shots did not disappoint.
For a gun that weighs nearly 8 pounds, it is mega lively, but not the sort of lively that makes you miss.
Beautiful, bang in the middle of both. It's got enough weight for it not to feel like it's made of aluminium, but mm-hmm. It's not overly heavy in any particular area. It's beautifully distributed weight. It's even across the whole gun. And that actually is the essence of good gun making. It's almost a deception. Where it feels like it weighs a pound lighter than it actually does because the handling's so good. That's what you want in best gun making.
Yeah, lots of weight between the hands, nice neutral balance, but just there's a confidence when you're swinging this around that you're just going to hit the target.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you want, right?
Exactly. It feels like it's holding your hand as it walks you through the shot. It feels that comfortable to shoot. We shoot different guns all the time, you and I, but this is easier to bend ourselves around more quickly.
You get those first shot nerves, don't you? Is this going to shoot where I'm looking? Is this going to handle in a way that is manageable? And this was super manageable.
It is. Oh. It's more than the sum of its parts. All of that thought, all of that engineering comes together to produce a ultimately very, very shootable shotgun. This is not a bespoke stock to you or I, and yet we feel extremely comfortable with it because the dimensions are so good.
I'm not done. I think we should go and shoot some crosses.
Let's try it.
You know, we've shot fast, furious driven.
Yep.
Totally handled that.
Yep.
Let's go see how it handles on something where there's a bit more control needed. I think that'll be real interesting.
It will. Yeah. Okay, let's try it.
You don't feel it pulling all over the place. And you know, when a stock doesn't fit particularly well, like this one for me, you feel the recoil in every single way. That, with a fairly stiff shell, nothing.
Oh, nice reaction. That one came out low.
Very, very nice to shoot. You know, that steady floppy bird, you can just hold the gun nice, track it easy, and then rip through that second target nice and just game gun to me generally is a synonym for a gun that looks pretty and doesn't handle well.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
That's not the case.
No, it's not.
That would do just as well on a round of decent stiff clays
yeah.
as it would anything.
Yep.
Good gun. Your turn.
Nice. Oh, one-handed as well. Look at that.
The timing on these ejectors and the design of the ejectors is wild.
It's
to
lovely,
throw them out
it?
Together in
it's
complete
lovely.
Harmony with yeah. complete power similarity.
Every single time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Pull!
It is as interesting a development in gun making as I've seen for a very, very long time, to be honest with you. It brings together a whole load of elements from different industries that perhaps gun making should have been thinking about 30 years ago, and they haven't looked far enough.
They're employing loads of new technology, but doing it in a really classical way.
Yes.
So they could have made a semi-automatic 8-shot that fires Dragon's Breath cartridges, but they've looked and said the market would like a traditional looking English gun. How can we best make that perform? It's cool.
The holy grail of an English made over and under that is reliable first and foremost, because there's absolutely no point if you're standing there pulling the trigger and it's not going bang and grouse are streaming past you, then you're going to start swearing. So it has to be reliable, English made, and not at a ridiculous price point.
Adam gave me a 20 bore to shoot that they have just made. It is unbelievably good looking.
It really is. And I can't tell you how long I've waited to get my hands on it and put a shot through it. And I'm going to get my chance today.
That's not a big and chunky gun, but the 20 is just
beautifully, beautifully
lovely.
Balanced. Yeah.
So I suggest we go and put the first shots through it.
I think we should.
You're wrong. That's such a good looking gun.
It is lovely, isn't it?
Mm.
Lively
trust aspect with it, but it's not badly lively.
No, not at all.
It's a bit handling. It's controllably stabby.
Yeah,
my kind
too
of gun.
Fast again, please.
What do you think?
It's a sweet, like every 20 bore, those proportions, that sort of scaled down action, scaled down of the grip. You feel comfortable, more comfortable than with a 12. It feels more pointable, it feels more lively, whereas the 12 did obviously is lively, but this is,
it's another level altogether. This in my head is very much a 20 bore. So many people now make a 20 bore as a replacement for a 12, like these bigger, heavier, deader feeling 20s.
Yeah, that's not the point.
I don't know, I think there's definitely a home for them, but this
probably
just isn't one.
But I don't see, I mean, this is a game shooting gun predominantly. A 30 inch 20 bore is, you know, it's built for killing pheasants and partridges in the most economical way, and you don't want that deadness in the hands, and this has not got it at all. This has got life.
I don't know what you thought about the way it shot, but for me it was just a case of there, whack, dead. It all happened very quickly. Everything from the trigger break to the bang to the movement was all just completely instinctive.
Yeah, like but the lock times on both the 12 and the 20 feel really lovely. The trigger pulls feel incredibly crisp. But it allowed me to feel confident enough to, and now I these days shoot most driven, fast driven birds off the back foot now. I thought, why not try it off the front foot as well? And because it's just such a sweet gun in the hands, you can get on that front foot and push your hip forward and just that gun fluid
that
movement.
That classic look.
That classic Stanbury style. You can do it. Whereas you feel a little bit as though you're possibly fighting inertia with a 12, any 12.
Well, but, I don't know about the 12. The 12 I could move. I was making moves and it felt really good. Yeah. This I just shot.
This is natural.
Yeah, very
much
natural.
More natural.
You know, a natural gun isn't necessarily the way to put in the highest scores or shoot the best ratio, but it ain't half fun to shoot with.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous. It's not about trophies. This is about just making those memories in the field.
I
really
like that.
Is.
I really like that.
It's a gorgeous thing to shoot. Oh man, this feels good. God, this feels good.
Pope.
Simon and I could have stayed there and shot a few hundred more clays. But as the day pressed on, it was unfortunately time to head home.
It's about having fun, isn't it?
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
That was a fascinating journey into modern British gun making.
Excellent.
I think everything about it I found very interesting. Certainly The simplicity of the gun, but the complexity of the design is the thing that sits with me. Yeah. It's not frilly, it's not fancy, but everything is done for a reason to the best possible standard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, that's very kind of you. We have a saying, understated British elegance, and almost what you have said is summed up in those three words, so thank you.
No, I really have no more to say other than I wish you guys the best of luck. As we discussed, your order books are certainly full and you're looking to expand production. It's exciting to see British gun making taking a step into the future.
Well, thank
it's
you.
Amazing.
Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it, Johnny. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All too often, we're guilty of judging a gun by looks alone. It's the reason most of us buy them. But the reason we fall in love with them is the build quality, shooting characteristics, and the mystique they exude. I consider myself very lucky to have the opportunity to go behind the scenes of factories like this and find out what a gunmaker is actually all about. And I found that this gun, in every way, is one to fall in love with. From the dedication to excellence that drove it into being, to the hours upon hours of time poured into the creation of each and every one. It's not a cheap gun for sure, and although I'll likely never afford one, as a gun lover, I'm very happy they exist. I'm sure I'll have another go on one of these soon, and I cannot wait for that to happen. Thank you to Galleon for having us in the factory and allowing us such an open access look at every facet of their build process. And of course, thank you for watching and sharing this adventure with me. We'll see you next time.